it. We'll have a lovely afternoon. Kiss the world goodbye, and away we'll fly. Destination moon. We'll travel fast as a light till we're out of sight. The earth will be like a toy balloon. What a thrill you'll get riding on my jet. A destination moon. We'll go up, 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 up. Straight to the moon we two. High in the starry blue. I'll be out of this world with you. So away we'll steal in my space mobile. A supersonic, a honeymoon. Leave your cares below. Pull the switch, let's go. A destination moon. Sonic, a honeymoon. Leave your cares below. Pull that switch, let's go. Destination. We're flying high up in the sky. Destination, destination moon.
Yeah, that's Dinah Washington, and this is Scott Arthur. Hello, and welcome to Sight and to Sound Radio's commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. Now, tonight's presentation is Apollo in Pop Culture, the top 20 songs on July 20th, 1969. So, where were you in 1969? Well, you've obviously heard and seen the countless historical documentaries on Apollo 11, but what about the average person? What were they going through just living their daily lives during this memorable time? And what were they listening to on the radio? Did you know that one of the top songs in America on that day, oddly enough, had Moon in the title? And it talks about death and destruction. Here's Creedence Clearwater Revival and Bad Moon Rising.
Bye.
Well, no romance in that moon song, huh? Another hit on Moon Landing Day was Pretty Funky by the King of Soul himself, James Brown. Here is Mother Popcorn. Pass the popcorn. That's James Brown. Moon Landing Day, July 20th, 1969, joins a few other recent memorable days in history when many of us can recall exactly where we were. Kennedy's assassination in Dallas, 9/11. So how about you? Where were you when Armstrong set foot on the moon? Or were you even born then? I was on the East Coast just finishing my first year of college. I don't recall exactly where I was, but I remember that I had to do something really important in the city, and I could not be in front of a TV. So I listened to it on my car radio. Now, this is what I heard, and millions of people on Earth saw.
Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Auto descent. Host control, both auto descent, engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
I'm going to step off the land now. That's one small step for man. One giant leap for mankind.
You know, Neil Armstrong said there was a concern in some areas of NASA that the lunar lander would just sink into the surface of the moon. Said he was glad to see they were wrong. And one of the questions he was asked over and over again was, how did you determine what the first words on the moon would be? Did you write them down months in advance? You know what his answer was? He said, I really didn't think about it much until we were on the moon's surface. I was still thinking about it when I went down the ladder. Well, that night, when lovebirds gazed up at the moon for the first time in the history of man, it was a different moon, one that was now inhabited. But to the romantics, it still represented love.
That it's late and I really must leave you alone. But you're good to hold and I feel such a long way from home. Yes, I know that our love is still new, but I promise it's gonna be true. Please let me stay, don't you send me away, oh no, no. Oh, tell me, baby, that you need me, say you'll never leave me, love me tonight. Hold me now, my heart is aching, and until the dawn is breaking, love me tonight. Something is burning inside. Something that can't be denied. I can't let you out of my sight, darling. Love me tonight. I've waited so long for the girl of my dreams to appear. I can hardly believe that you really are here. Here in my arms you belong. How can this feeling be wrong? Darling, be kind, for I'm out of my mind over you. Oh, tell me, baby, that you need me. Say you'll never leave me or love me tonight. Baby, now the pain is stronger. I can't wait a moment longer. Love me tonight. Something is burning inside. Something that can't be denied. I can't let you out of my sight, darling. Love me tonight. Let me love you, baby. Let me love you, baby. Let me love you tonight. Love me tonight.
That was Tom Jones and Love Me Tonight, one of the big songs that week in 1969. Here's another one. It's a soft rock hit belonging to Andy Kim. It's called Baby, I Love You.
Have I ever told you how good it feels to hold you? It isn't easy to explain. And though I'm really trying, I think I may start crying. My heart can't wait another day. When you touch me, I just got to say, I love you, baby, I love you.
In 1969, the year of the first moon landing, a gallon of gas cost, are you ready, 32 cents. Ooh, a pound of sugar was 12 cents. It's like $1.49 today. And a new car cost about $2,000 for a nice mid-model. That's a lot of money when the minimum wage was just $1.60 an hour. Thousands of miles up in the sky, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were moonwalking, and back here on Earth, Marvin Gaye, well, he didn't notice because he was too busy thinking about his baby.
Power grows.
Marvin Gaye in one of the top 20 songs of that week in 1969. You know, the first moon landing wasn't the only headline that year. While Neil and Buzz were the most famous men in space, in January, some of the most famous men on Earth, John, Paul, George, and Ringo, gave their final public performance on the rooftop of Apple Records in London. One of the standout songs from that historic concert featured their friend Billy Preston and was ranked in, well, one of the top 20 on July the 20th. So here are the Beatles and Billy Preston with Get Back. You know, on the subject of getting back, at Mission Control, there was a team of engineers and scientists and physicists whose job it was to make sure that if there was a problem in space, the Apollo 11 crew would get back safely. A good friend of mine, Jerry Elliott, is a physicist, and he was in his mid to late 20s back in 1969, and he was with the Apollo program almost from the beginning. He was in Mission Control during the Apollo 11 mission. So, Jerry, thanks for joining us. Now, you were in Mission Control during Apollo 11. Tell us about that.
Well, it was very exciting, of course. Apollo 11 broke the bounds of gravity's grip, tried to be dedicated and courageous explorers of the universe. Was hard. We were pioneers. We never yield to the temptations of failure or defeat. As astronauts and flight controllers, we were men of guts and grits, all with one goal in mind, to be first on the moon, also to brave the challenges and set sails for unknown journeys.
You were 27, a physicist at Mission Control. At one point during Apollo 11, were you there?
Well, I was there during the whole flight. We had different assignments throughout the day. There were three teams around the clock, and I was one of the three teams.
Were you a retro fire officer?
Yes, that's correct. Retro fire officers' duties were to return the crew at any phase or part of the mission, bring them back home safely.
And what does that entail? I mean, describe what you would have had to do.
Well, it depends on where we are in the mission. If it was a launch, it'd be a launch abort. It was on the way to the moon or coming back from the moon. It was our job to compute the returned Earth trajectories and bring them safely home.
I understand that they had a couple of Plan B and Plan C in case some of the instruments failed.
Well, we always had backups and tried to plan for problems. Yes, we did. In case of a failure of the control center for whatever reason, there was a duplicate control center in the same mission control center. If that failed, that we were to put us on an airplane and fly us to another NASA installation to complete the mission.
So this was something that no one in the history of mankind had attempted before, to put a human being on the moon. And it must have been a special feeling, because you were there during a lot of the Apollo missions before, but this was different. This was the big one. And I'm wondering, you know, did everybody pretty much hold their breath there for a couple of days? What was the feeling there?
Well, we dared to do the impossible. We dared to turn dreams into reality and dares into pride victories. This anniversary coming up this month, we're toasting to the victory and the pride of success and to the men and women who proudly gave their best. The NASA team made footsteps not only on the moon, but imprints on the pages of history.
And you are part of that history. How does that make you feel?
Very proud that we were able to do what we'd planned for so many years. We were believers that failure was no option in the astronauts' quest to the moon landing. The Apollo 11 team were dauntless heroes who, in the breathless final moments, we never gave up, who always knew that the winning victory over defeat. A lot of people don't know that we almost didn't land, because on the way down, the lunar module computer had some alarms that sounded, and these alarms could have prevented us from landing on the moon. Luckily, we had thought of much of that in advance and what we were going to do if we got those alarms. It turns out that the difference between success and failure boiled down to the activities in mission control that we had that day to recognize those errors and correctly assess them.
Jerry, apparently, we are now looking at going back to the moon. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't know. They may even build a Trump hotel in there. I don't know. Actually, there's a lot of science that we did not accomplish during all of the Apollo missions that we'd like to get back to. There's been some more recent discoveries that we found perhaps traces of water on the moon, which is encouraging. We're still exploring the unknown. And the moon being our closest neighbor affords us the opportunity to visit again.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Thank you for being part of history. And, well, we wish you the best.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. I enjoyed being a part of the mission and also a part of the Houston community again.
You know, Jerry was part of the team that figured out how to get Apollo 13 safely back from space, but that's a story for another day. You're listening to Apollo in Pop Culture, the top 20 songs of July 20th, 1969. I'm Scott Arthur. And some of the other top charted songs for 1969 were Good Morning Starshine by Oliver, Stevie Wonder and My Sharia Moore, Three Dog Night, and of course, Elvis. While the Beatles retired from performing in public, their biggest rival kept on giving concerts. And almost exactly 8 years before he died, here's the King with one of the top 20 songs in America that year, In the Ghetto.
As the snow flies on a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born in the ghetto. And his mama cries, Cause if there's one thing that she don't need is another hungry mouth to feed in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
Now people, don't you understand? Your child needs a helping hand. He'll grow to be an angry young man someday. Now take a look at you and me. Are we too blind to see? Do we simply turn our heads and look the other way? Well, the world turns, and a hungry little boy with a runny nose plays in the street as a cold wind blows in the ghetto. And his hunger burns, so he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. And then one night in desperation, the young man breaks away. He buys a gun, he steals a car, tries to run, but he don't get far, and his mama cries. As a crowd gathers round, an angry young man face down in the street with a gun in his hand in the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
And as her young man dies
in the ghetto.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, another little baby child is born. And his mama cries.
While Elvis continued with his signature Memphis sound, Sonny Charles and the Checkmates were making beautiful Motown music. Here they are with Black Pearl.
Thank you.
Now, you may not know it, but I was raised on the Jersey Shore, or some say the Jersey Shore. And I came to Houston to do radio and TV back in 1976. And I've spent more than half of my life in this wonderful town, and I couldn't be more proud. Why, even the first words on the moon were, well, Houston. The next song has Houston written all over it. It was made famous by Kenny Rogers in the first edition, before Kenny became a solo act. And before that, Kenny was singing in clubs and dives here in his hometown of Houston, Texas. Now, this song features some pretty fancy drum work, too, and that's another Houston boy, a guy by the name of Mickey Jones. Mickey played drums for all the greats, including Bob Dylan, Trini Lopez. He ended his music career with 17 gold records. But he had another career, too. And I'll know you recognize his face and voice as one of the three big bearded construction men on Tim Allen's Home Improvement TV show, remember? And he did a gazillion movies. Mickey died here in Houston last year, but his famous drumming helped make this next song a really big hit in 1969. Listen to Ruby, Don't Take Your Love to Town.
You've painted up your lips and rolled and curled your tinted hair. Ruby, are you contemplating going out somewhere? The shadow on the wall tells me the sun is going down. Take your love to town. It wasn't me that started that old crazy Asian war, but I was proud to go and do my patriotic chore. And yes, it's true that I'm not the man I used to be. Some company. It's hard to love a man whose legs are bent and paralyzed. And the wants and the needs of a woman your age, Ruby, I realize. But it won't be long, I've heard them say, until I'm not around. Now, 'cause I just heard the slamming of the door. The way I know I've heard it slam 100 times before. And if I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground. Take your love to town. Oh. For God's sakes, turn around.
Yeah, love that drumming. Well, let's take a look at what was happening here on planet Earth. Sesame Street made its debut. The New York Jets defeated the Baltimore Colts in Super Bowl III. Wow, Richard Milhouse Nixon took office as the 37th President of the United States. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was 839. Sirhan Sirhan confessed to killing Robert Kennedy, and James Earl Ray pleaded guilty to murdering Martin Luther King. And more than 400,000 rock fans attended Woodstock. Ted Kennedy drove Mary Jo Kopechne off a bridge in Chappaquiddick. And John Lennon and Yoko Ono conducted a bed-in at Montreal's Queen Elizabeth Hotel. In April, as Apollo 10 flew within 15,000 miles of the moon, John and Yoko got married. And John and Paul soon wrote a song about that couple. It became a hit. It's called The Ballad of John and Yoko.
Standing in the dock at Southampton,
In 1969, as Woodstock demonstrated, much of the young people of America were looking at the world through, well, rose-colored glasses, and hoping for a change for the better.
What do you see? The sun is rising, most definitely. A new day is coming. Ooh-hoo. People are changing. Ain't it beautiful? Ooh-hoo. Crystal blue. Better get ready. Gonna see the light. Love, love is the answer. Ooh, and that's all right. So don't you give up. Your mind. Crystal blue persuasion. New vibration, crystal blue persuasion, crystal blue persuasion. Maybe tomorrow, when he looks down on every green field. Crystal blue persuasion, yeah. Crystal blue persuasion, ah. Crystal blue persuasion.
That does bring back memories. Tommy James and the Shondells with Crystal Blue Persuasion. Hey, speaking of persuasion, because of the radio show I did here in Houston, I got to know a number of folks that worked at NASA. They were all listeners, it seemed. And I got to know a lot of astronauts and mission control specialists. And I have a wall at home just covered with space pictures and autographs, from Gemini and Apollo to the space shuttle, even the space station. But what was missing was autographs from the first two humans on the moon. Now, at a charity event about 25 years ago, I knew I was going to run into Buzz Aldrin. He's an extremely nice fellow, very personable, very outgoing. And knowing I was going to meet him, I procured a collector's item 25th moon landing anniversary poster. Well, he signed it personally to me, with a big smile and he posed for pictures. What a thrill. I put it back in the frame and put it back on my wall. Well, Neil Armstrong wasn't even a consideration. He was a fairly private man, although many people didn't know that he really had a great dry sense of humor. After the Apollo 11 mission, he handed NASA a reimbursement request to be paid 25 cents a mile for the round trip to the moon, which was about 480,000 miles. I'll do the math for you. It came to about $120,000. But I digress. Sometimes in the 90s, Neil Armstrong stopped signing autographs. He really didn't enjoy it. And think about it. He was literally the most famous man in the world. The poor guy couldn't even use the restroom without a crowd of autograph seekers following him in. A longtime friend and photographer called me around 1997 and said, "Meet me at this charity golf tournament and you can have Neil sign your poster." What? Well, he didn't have to ask me twice. So on the appointed day, right here in Houston, I met my friend who had been taking pictures at the celebrity golf tournament all week. He said, "Get in the golf cart, shut up." So I did. And soon we arrived at the 12th green. And there he was, Neil Armstrong. I waited until he finished putting and casually approached him with poster in hand. He had this "here we go again" look on his face, and he began looking for someone to run interference. The only thing that kept me from being dragged away was he recognized my friend, the photographer. Now I said, "Sir, I hate to bother you, but this is a special poster, and it would mean the world to me if you'd sign it." He had this frown on his face, and he said, "I'm sorry, son. I don't do that anymore. Too many people are just taking the autograph and selling it on the internet." And I said, "But I have a space wall. See, here, Buzz Aldrin signed this personally to me." Well, he was melting, but not really convinced. Then my friend said, "Neil, I have been to his house. He really does have a space wall." But with that, the first man on the moon signed the poster, shook my hand, smiled, wished me a good day, and jumped into his golf cart and drove away. I now keep that poster in an air-conditioned storage unit and take it out on special occasions. Over the years, I've had the honor to meet 8 of the 12 men who have walked on the moon. I've met the first American in space and the last man to walk on the moon. All American heroes who indeed have the right stuff. So today, we look back 50 years. Hindsight is always 20/20, but did you ever think what they were wondering about back in 1969? Were they talking about the future, do you think? Well, the number one song in America on the day that man landed on the moon was a prediction of the future. And it really wasn't very optimistic. As we look back half a century, musically, they looked ahead half a century. And what they saw was kind of scary. They figured that we would destroy ourselves. Here's Zegar and Evans, and In the Year 2525.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say is in the pill you took today. In the year 4545, ain't gonna need your teeth, won't need your eyes. You won't find a thing to chew, nobody's gonna look at you. In the year 5555, your arms are hanging limp at your sides. Your legs got nothing to do, some machine doing that for you. In the year 6565, ain't gonna need no husband, won't need no wife. You pick your son, pick your daughter too, from the bottom of a long glass tube. Whoa, whoa. In the year 7510, if God's a-coming, he ought to make it by then. Maybe he'll look around himself and say, guess it's time for the judgment day. In the year 8510, God is gonna shake his mighty head. He'll either say, I'm pleased where man has been,
or tear it down and start again. Oh, oh. In the year 95, I'm kinda wondering if man is gonna be alive. He's taken everything this old earth can give, and he ain't put back nothing. Whoa, whoa. Now it's been 10,000 years. Man has cried a billion tears for what he never knew. Now man's reign is through, but through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday. In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year...
We hope you've enjoyed Sight into Sound Radio's commemoration of the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11 moon landing. Apollo and Pop Culture, the top 20 songs of July 20th, 1969. Well, it's been quite a ride. I've enjoyed it. I'm glad we could share it together. Thank you for joining us for the remembrance of that historical day. Your producer for Apollo and Pop Culture was the amazing Jim Martinez. I'm Scott Arthur.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you. Song, let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words,